Hallelujah. What does the scripture say? Faith is the substance of what? Things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So I'm not believing for things that I see. Why would I need to do that? You know, that may sound kind of simple, but you know, in just sharing the things Sunday, you know, when we talk about faith and we talk about being confident, faith is the confidence. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. You could say, cast not away, therefore, your faith, for it hath great recompense of reward. It has great reward, right? So we're not to cast away our faith. Faith and confidence, you could be saying, is the same thing. If you're in faith, that means you're confident of something. Confident of what? You're confident of the will of God. You know His will. You're confident of it. You're convinced of it. What is Abraham? He said, I am persuaded. What did Paul write in Romans? I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor principalities or powers shall what? Separate me from the love of God. He was what? Persuaded. That means he's in faith. If you're in faith, you're persuaded of something. You're convinced of something. You're confident of something. And that's what I was sharing on Sunday, that when you look at James and it says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, what? Nothing wavering. Well, if you're wavering, that means you're entertaining another option. That means you can't be persuaded. Because it also says if you're wavering, let not that man think he'll receive anything. So if you're entertaining another option, you're not persuaded. You're not convinced, right? So that's what we're talking about. When we talk about the spirit of faith, we're talking about someone who's convinced. We're talking about someone who's persuaded, confident. And, you know, just sharing some things, you know, we may start out in faith. We may start out confident and persuaded of something, and then a week goes by, a month goes by, 2 years go by, 10 years go by, 15 years go by, 20 years go by. Are you still confident and persuaded? Because we can look at Joshua. He had to walk around with them bunch of unbelievers for 40 years. He was still persuaded. He said, come on, let's take it. How would you be? Would you still be confident listening to the, as I call it, womp, 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 unbelief for 40 years? You complain when it's a week. I got to work with them people on that J-O-B. I can't take it, right? And you've been there for a couple of years or a week, and I got to find me a new job because I just can't take it. What did Joshua? He was 40 years listening to that, and he was still confident. He was persuaded. Well, I'll tell you, that's the spirit of faith. That's faith right there, right? So if we start out in faith and we get off track a little bit, let's get back on track. Just pick right back up again. Feed on the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God. We can move ourselves. We can move the needle, right? We can get ourselves over, back over into that position of being persuaded, right? We can do that. Just like I was sharing on Sunday. You know, when Brother Hagin talked about you can school yourself into faith, what does that mean? You can school yourself over into being persuaded and confident about something. Well, you can do the same thing because the principles still work the same. You can school yourself over into unbelief and doubt and fear. How? It doesn't come overnight. But if you just keep working at it, you keep looking at something that's full of faith and fear and unbelief, and you entertain it, you will move yourself over into that position. And at some point, fear and unbelief comes. Same way. How does that come? You keep listening to it, and then it comes, and then you start talking about it. And you've heard this. People start somewhere, and they go, you know, I don't know. They just, you entertain a thought. That's where it starts. And then you what? You entertain it long enough, gets down in your heart, because the spirit of faith principles are you got to believe and speak. That which you believe, you speak. So at some point, if you apply the same principles, you keep thinking about something that's negative and it gets down into your heart, and then you start doing what? You start talking about it, and then faith for that comes. Or you become persuaded of the negative. And sometimes when people get persuaded of the negative, it's tough, isn't it, to get them to see something positive because they've embraced it. They're persuaded, right? Just like you're persuaded of the things of God, have somebody come in, you go, I'm sorry, I'm persuaded. Well, you know, the same thing can happen to people that get persuaded about negative things. We have people in society that are persuaded that they'll never make anything in life. They're stuck, right? Is that not true? And it really takes the power of God to break that. It takes the word of God. Because the word of God is the power of God. So anyways, I just share those things, that what we're talking about here is faith and the spirit of faith. But let's look at Matthew 9. And, you know, just looking at this account and this other account, Matthew 9 has so many, this whole chapter is just chock full of accounts here where we're talking about faith. We can see the whole chapter starts with the man being let down through the roof with the palsy, right? And then from there, what happened? He got healed, he arose. And then what happened? Then he arose and departed. And then what happened? Jairus comes. And then you see that, and Jesus is on his way to go see Jairus and raise this girl from the dead. And what happened? A woman with the issue of blood steps in here. But all of these accounts, what caused them to receive? This is what we're talking about. Faith caused them to receive. Yes, it was the power of God, but it wasn't all up to him. We had a part to do. So you can see here, starting in verse 27, and it said, when Jesus departed thence, where did he depart from? He departed from Jairus' house. He had just raised a girl from the dead. So I'm sure these two blind men are figuring, blind girl, blind, or dead girl, blind eyes, this is no problem for God. So they must have heard and seen something that Jesus said and did. And what does it say? And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. So you can see here, they were applying the principles of the spirit of faith. They had believed something they had seen and heard, and they're saying something. They're shouting. This term, as I had said before, Rick Renner in his Sparkling Gems talks about the word followed. He said that word followed in the Greek means to follow, just not just, you know, we're following along. He said, no, it was with a purposed, determined manner. It wasn't just following. They were going to get something like the woman with the issue of blood. They were determined and persuaded that they were going to get something. They didn't want to lollygagging behind them. And it says to cry, he said that Greek word means to shout at the top of your lungs, make some noise. They were screaming, making some noise. And isn't it interesting? Jesus never stopped. He didn't say, turn around and say, who's making all the noise? Let's stop, bring them over here. What's the problem? He just kept going. And then it says when he entered into the house, the blind men came right in. They were going to get something. And just like the man with the palsy, he couldn't get in the house where Jesus was. He said, but break up the roof and let me in. I'm going to get something. He was determined to get what was promised. Or we could say the report of the Lord. So what is the first thing Jesus said to them? Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. So he's locating them. What do they believe? And what happened? They said, yes, Lord. And he touched their eyes, saying what? According to your faith, be it unto you. And what happened? Their eyes were opened. So we can see here, what is Jesus? If he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, what is he saying today? Believe ye that I am able to do this. Believe ye. And our response is, yes, Lord. Yea, Lord. Regardless of the circumstances. Faith, what does it say? Whosoever is born of God, whatsoever is born of God, is what? Overcometh the world. And what is it that overcomes the world? Even our faith. Whatsoever or whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. So no matter what we're faced with, we can overcome it with what? Faith. And that's what they knew. That's what they were pursuing. And Mark 9, let's go over there. Mark chapter 9. The more you feed on this, the more you see. Mark 9, verse 22. I'm picking up here. We're not going to go through this whole account here, but Jesus asked the Father in verse 21, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. Verse 22, and oft times it had cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us, and do what? Help us. And what's Jesus' response? He said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that what? Believeth. And more of the modern translations, Jesus turns around and says, what do you mean if I can? He said, that's what the New Living says. What do you mean if I can? Jesus said, anything is possible if a person believes. So Jesus really is asking them, I do will. It is my will. What do you mean if I can? I can. What do you believe? And that's really what he's saying. If everything is possible for one who believes. So faith is the determining factor here. And so just looking again, or I made reference to Hebrews 10:35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. The American Standard Version says, cast not away therefore your boldness. Your boldness. If you're in faith, you're bold about something. What does that mean? You're persuaded about something. If you're persuaded, you can be bold about it. And that's exactly what the New International Reader's Version, it says, don't throw away your bold faith. Don't throw it away. Because it has great reward. So I wanted to pick up again tonight, and again, when it talks about if you lack, and you don't have to turn there, I'm just making comment here. When it says in James 1:5, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. In here, think about this, this is just talking about wisdom. It says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. But that could mean other things, couldn't it? If any man lacks strength, let him ask of God. If any man lack peace, let him ask of God. Any man lack joy, let him ask of God. Nothing wavering. Any man lack money, do what? Let him ask of God, right? Let him ask of God. He does what? He gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Let him ask in what? In faith, or you could say in confidence. Well, how are you going to be in confidence? You've got to know what the report of the Lord is. You've got to know what the will of God is. And when you do, you have confidence. You have persuasion. So this could apply to other things other than just the wisdom of God. So now I want to pick up here a little bit tonight and kind of expand on this thought here. And Romans, which I was just referring here, nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, principalities, powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, depth, or other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And Brother Hagin made this statement, the spirit of faith is the spirit of victory. And that's what I was sharing on Sunday. If you overcome by faith, what does that mean? If you're an overcomer, that means you win. If you win, that means you're a winner. You're not a loser. So if you have the victory over something, then that means you're a winner. That means what I was sharing on Sunday, just to refresh, if you are a winner, you're not a whiner. If you're a winner, you're not a whiner. What does that mean, to complain about something? If you're complaining about something, and we've all been there, we complain about something, right? I don't have this, I don't like this, or blah, blah, blah. If you have the victory over something, that means you have the victory over something that you don't have yet. That means you are a winner. That means you don't bellyache about stuff. You don't complain about stuff. Because why? You have it. I mean, you look at some of the things that Paul went through. Look what he said in Acts 27. He's out in the middle of the sea. They're ready to go down. And he said, be of good cheer, folks. I believe God. And it's going to be okay. And they said, yeah, right. Right? So he said, be of good cheer. It's going to be okay. I believe God. And so he didn't complain. He didn't bellyache about that situation, did he? He believed God. He was persuaded. So let's turn a minute over to 2 Corinthians 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. And we're familiar with this particular scripture verse. It says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak. I like the Passion Translation. It says, we have the same spirit of faith that is described in the scriptures. That would be Psalm 116. But it says, we have the same spirit of faith that is described in the scriptures when it says, first I believed, then I spoke in faith. I like the way that says that. First I believed, then I spoke in faith. So we also first believe, then we speak in faith. So first you believe, then you speak in faith. This really is the spirit of faith. The easy-to-read version says, the scriptures say, I believed, so I spoke. Our faith is like that too. We believe, and so we speak. So the spirit of faith really takes the limits off God. The spirit of faith is not limited, you could say. We take the limits off God. So we have to do what? Believe, and then we speak. What does Romans 10, 9, and 10 say? Or actually starting in verse 8, it says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So the spirit of faith believes and speaks what? Speaks what? The possibilities of God, the report of the Lord. That's what we're speaking. We believe that and we speak it. And that's what we were sharing on Sunday. And it's really interesting. If you're around people long enough, you're around yourself all the time. But if you interact with people long enough, you know, whether you're in church or out of church, you can tell whether the person's in faith or not. You can tell by how they speak, it's in their tone, it's in the way they speak, you know whether or not there's faith. And that's what I was sharing, that little brief story Brother Hagin talked about. And when he was in the early part of his ministry, he was somewhere for a length of time teaching on faith and healing. And the pastor there said, "Is this woman getting any better? Is she improving?" And he said, "No, she hasn't gotten the wine out of her voice." And what he meant was, she hasn't gotten the complaining out of her voice. She's not in faith. She isn't persuaded yet. And faith will cause the person to be persuaded, convinced of what they're hearing. So if we're not persuaded or convinced of something, then keep feeding on the word. It'll change you. It'll move you from that place to a place of conviction, a place of actually being persuaded. And we can get there. And that means if you're persuaded in one area of your life but not another, then we need to just look at that particular area of our life and begin to speak the word in that area. Keep confessing the word, and we will become persuaded in that area. You know, you might be persuaded about walking in love, but maybe in the area or healing, or maybe in the area of finances, you're not persuaded yet. But you can be. We can be persuaded in those things that God has promised us. You know, I remember one time, and it was a supernatural experience. I was in a setting where there was a person, and I'm just couching all of this because I was young in the Lord. But there was a person in this setting that I did not like, and I really didn't like this person because they had some ulterior motives. And the Lord spoke to me when I first started, not going to this church, but another church when I first started, stay away from that person. He told me. I heard it right down here. As a brand new Christian, I heard it right down here. He said, stay away from that person. And so I did. So I was obeying the Lord. But this person tried to dog me. You know what I mean, like that? And so I knew right away, he warned me. So I was in this setting, in a social setting, and the love of God came upon me in such a measure. I've never experienced it like this ever since then. But it consumed me. I don't know the best word that I'm trying to use English words that can best describe it. It consumed me and my soul, my thinking. And you know, when we talk about scripture where it says God has removed as far as the east is from the west, even a thought of your past and what has been redeemed, you've been redeemed from, he doesn't consider it. He don't remember it. I looked at this person, and I'm telling you, I had no thoughts. There was zero thoughts of anything negative towards this person. I'd never experienced it. It literally enveloped me, the presence of God. So I know, and we don't walk that way all the time, so I'm saying that in the sense that it was a supernatural experience, but we don't walk in that kind of atmosphere all the time. You got to walk in this, deal with this flesh and people. And so you're going to have to do what? Walk by faith in some things when they're uncomfortable. You're going to have to. I mean, yes, there are times that we walk in these supernatural experiences, and we thank God for that. But you don't walk that way 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. You don't. You've got this flesh to deal with and have to put down thoughts and attitudes and everything else. And you're going to have to do what? Believe God and be persuaded not by your feelings. You're going to have to, when you get into situations, when your feelings begin to take dominance, you're going to have to say, no, I believe God. And I'm going to act on what I believe. I'm going to act this way and speak this way, regardless of my feelings. And so, let me just read this, 2 Corinthians, well, you can turn there, 2 Corinthians 3:17. It says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. So you could say where there's liberty, there's what? There's victory. So if I have liberty, then I'm not in bondage to something. I have victory over something. If I have liberty, I have victory. Now let's go over here in 2 Corinthians, back up to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And let's look at verse 12. It says, now we have received what? Not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. That we might what? Know. Say no. Know the things that what? Are freely given to us of God. You know, you hear people say, well, you know, we can't know the will of God. That's not true. We just read it right here. He's given us the Spirit, which is of God, so that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So we have the Spirit of faith. We have the Spirit of God that does what? Reveals to us so that we can know the things that are freely given to us. So the Spirit of God causes us to know what we have been freely given. Let's turn over to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. I believe it's verse 20. See, the part of having a spirit of faith is knowing. If you have faith, then you're persuaded. But you're persuaded of something you know. So this says here, we just got done reading, the Spirit of God helps us to know that the things that are freely given. But 1 John 2, it says, but we have what? An unction from the Holy One, that we might know, say no, all things. The NIV, I think, is I won't say more accurate, it's easier. It says, but you have an anointing. When we talk about an unction, we're talking about an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. So that doesn't mean we know all things about everything and everybody. That only God knows that. So, you know, you don't walk around thinking you know all things, because you know that's not so. But it says here that you know the truth. And that's just what we got done reading in 2 and 1 Corinthians, said that the Spirit of God has been given to us that we might know the things that are freely given to us. What's that? That's the truth. That's the report of the Lord. We have His anointing, His Spirit, so that He does what? He shows us the truth, reveals the truth to us. John 8:31, He says, if you continue in my word, what? Then are my disciples indeed, and you shall what? Know the what? The truth, and the truth shall do what? Make you free. So we've been given the Spirit of God, but here's the key. You've got to continue in his word. Then you're going to know. You're going to be his disciples, but it says, then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So the Spirit of God has been given to us, the Spirit of truth has been given to us to reveal the truth so that we'll what? Know. And once you know, you can become convinced. Why? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. What did Jesus say? John 14, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now let's turn over in 1 John. Let's go over to chapter 5 in 1 John. And let's look at this here in verse 14 and 15. And let me read this from the King James. And it said, and this is the what? The confidence, or you could say this is the faith. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, what? According to his will, right? But you got to know his will. He does what? If you ask anything according to his will, he does what? He hears us. And if we what? We know that he hears us. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So here's an interesting, you know, observation. This is what I was looking at before service. And this is the confidence, talking about faith, but this principle, or we could talk about the ingredients of the spirit of faith. We're talking about, what do we read before? First I believed, then I spoke. What is this saying here? It says, and this is the confidence, talking about believing. Talking about believing. I believe, right? Then I spoke. What did it say here? That we have in him, that if we ask, it's confessing. So we're believing and speaking. Same, that principle. If I ask anything according to his will, he does what? He hears us. So we can see here that the spirit of faith, and then again, think about that scripture. Think about Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He says, right, without faith. And it says, but he that cometh unto God must what? Believe that he is. And he's what? A rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So you got to believe and diligently speak and seek him. And he does what? He rewards. So that principle of the spirit of faith you can see here. This is another translation. It's called the Barclay translation. It says, the reason why we can approach God with complete confidence is that if we ask for anything that is in accordance with his will, he listens to us. If we know that he listens to us, whenever we ask him for anything, we know that the things for which we have asked him are already ours. That means we have it by faith. So if you're in faith, you're going to be talking about what you know and what you're confident and convinced of. That's the spirit of faith. You know something. It's been revealed. You know it. So you're going to talk about what you have and not what, that's what I was sharing Sunday. The spirit of faith talks about what it has and what it not what it doesn't have. What does it say? Let the weak say, I am strong. So you don't talk about what you have, you talk about what you don't have. Right? You don't say, I'm so broke. Say, I'm so blessed. I have my bank accounts are full. He gives seed to the sower and increases the fruits of your righteousness. So he's going to multiply, increase the seed that you sow. And then what have you got to do? You've got to speak over it. You've got to release some faith with that so that you give God something to work with there. You got to speak his promises. This is just some things that other ministers have shared. This is Lillian B. Yeomans. You can get her books online. She's somebody that lived years ago. She was a doctor. She said this, God has tied himself, T-I-E-D, tied himself irrevocably to human cooperation in the execution of divine purposes. He has made man's faith a determining factor in the work of redemption. So we have to apply faith. God has designed it that way. He's set it up that way, that we have to release faith in order to benefit from that which has been provided by grace. What grace has secured or provided, we have to receive by faith. Amen. So this first ingredient we talk about is what? You got to believe, then you've got to speak. So you can see here as we kind of go through these lessons, it helps us examine. You know, a lot of people say, I'm believing God. And I'm not saying you aren't. I'm not here to question that. But a person who's convinced and persuaded is persuaded based on what? The will of God. And you can see that here when it talks about in first, you can see in 1 John 5, 14 and 15, this theme here. When it says, he hears us, he hears what? It says here, this confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, see, we have to know the will of God, we have to be convinced of the will of God, and when we are, this says here, he hears us. If we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know. That means when I walk away from that prayer, Mark 11, 24, what things soever you desire, when you pray, what? Believe. You receive them when you pray. So that means I'm convinced that when I walk away from that prayer, that it's done. Regardless of whether I see something or not, whether I feel something or not, whether the conditions change or not. So if you believe God for money to meet a financial obligation and you've sown seed, then that means he's obligated to fulfill it. I remember years ago, I was in an automobile accident. And I remember I was at that time, not that I've changed, but at that time I was tithing or giving over and above 10%, probably somewhere between 20 and 30% of my income. And I remember in this accident, I was sued for a large amount of money. It was probably close to $300,000 or more, somewhere there. I'm not exact, but it was a large amount. And I remember at that time, I had just started the ministry here. And I thought, I'm done. In my thinking, I thought, I'm done. I'll never have anything, own anything. It's over. Because, you know, you just all of these squirrely thoughts go through your head, right? And I'm sitting there going, oh boy, what am I going to do? And you know, the Lord knows what you're thinking about because he lives in you. And I remember sitting, my office used to be in that booth that used to be way above the sanctuary. And I was sitting in there looking at my computer screen, just sitting there in a daze. And I heard down here, it was almost like an audible voice. He said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. And I immediately jumped up out of my seat and I said, I'm a tither. I did. I shouted. I said, I'm a tither. And I bring my tithe into the storehouse. And he said, because you are, I will rebuke the devourer. And I mean, I held on to that for a good 6 to 8 months. It was a good 8 months. I had to go through all of the normal legal proceedings. I had to have depositions. I had to do all of this stuff. And all the time, thoughts are coming. You're going down. This is it. It's over. Blah, blah, blah. And every time those thoughts would come, out of my mouth would come, no, I'm a tither. And God said, he will rebuke the devourer for my sake. So I believe it. But I'm going to tell you, my flesh and my mind, I had to keep saying it and keep saying it and keep saying it and keep saying it. And I remember just before, this had to go to the Supreme Court because of the amount of money. This just wasn't civil court. This went to the Supreme Court. So when I heard that, I went, okay. Because I didn't know where it was going to land or end up. So anyways, they said, you don't need to be there. If we need you, we'll call you. And so this is after, you know, this I got a letter. And then Monday went by, Tuesday went by, Wednesday went by, Thursday went by, and I'm thinking, that's odd. Didn't get a phone call, didn't get anything. And I got a letter the next week saying, thank you, it's all been resolved and settled. And that was because the amount of insurance that I had on my car was the basic amount that I could put on the car, and it was nowhere near what they were asking for. This is almost 40 years ago, 30 some years ago. So the insurance coverages were different then, and they were asking for a large amount of money compared to what I had in insurance. So when they said they settled it within the insurance policy, I'm thinking, really? Okay. That's a victory. That's God rebuking the devourer. And so I'm just giving you a life example that I don't care what it is. If you are doing what God has ordained you to do, if you are sowing seed, whether it's your time, your money, what it is, he's obligated to fulfill it. But I'll tell you, what's the spirit of faith? The spirit of faith says, I believe what the word says, and therefore I speak. I'm speaking what I believe. I believe that I'm delivered. I believe that I'm healed. I believe that my bank account's full because I've sown seed. That's why I believe that regardless of what I see, what I feel, this ministry, I've heard Brother Copeland, he prophesied over this ministry. He said, in 2003, he spoke this to Pastor Sarah. He spoke some things, but he also said, all the seed that's been sown by this ministry shall come up. I believe that. I don't care what people think. I believe God. And you ought to be the same. Regardless of what you're walking through, what you're feeling, what you're seeing, what you're experiencing, I believe God. And I believe what his word says, and it shall be. It shall come to pass in my life. Because otherwise, what did God say in Malachi? He said, I change not. Titus says he cannot lie. James says he's without variableness or shadow of turning. He can't lie. He changes not. His word is forever settled in heaven. Therefore, what? I believe his report. And if I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing, then it's settled. Amen. I can ask him something that's according to his will. He listens to me. And he listens to you. And if you know that he listens to you, you have it. You have it. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that it's settled in our hearts. that we walk by faith. We have the spirit of faith. We believe you. And we thank you that we speak it. And it's settled in our hearts. It's settled in our minds. And we thank you, Father, that the things that we're walking through, we overcome by faith. Be it unto us according to our faith. And we thank you, Father, that we can just laugh at circumstances. We can laugh at the devil because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let's say this. I have the spirit of faith, and I overcome by faith, and I believe God, and therefore I speak. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Amen.